We shall turn again to the part of God's Word that we read already and consider a portion found in Mark chapter 5 and verse 15. Mark chapter 5 and verse 15. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The Lord had been teaching the people by parables, as we gather from the previous chapter. And when he had finished, he ordered a departure to the other side of the lake. And they left, even as he was in the ship. He was teaching while he was in the boat, and the people were on the shore. And when he was finished, he directed them to depart to the other side. And that is when he stilled the tempest of the sea. Peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And now, after that, on the other side, he will still the tempest that raged over a single soul. So you see the connection between what has just passed and what we have before us in our chapter, Mark chapter 5. The Lord has power over all things, power over all beings. He had just tamed the wild sea, and now he will tame a wild man. Human power was helpless to deal with either. The Son of Man, who is the Son of God, has power over both. And that is why he passed over to the other side of the lake, because there was someone who desperately needed help. It was a man who could not help himself, but he only cried out and cut himself. No other could set him free. But the Lord Jesus came to set at liberty them that were bruised, to set people free from satanic tyranny. Where do you stand today? Do you feel the power of sin within you? And do you know that to be under the power of sin is to be under the power and influence of Satan and his agents from hell? You need the power of Christ to set you free, to deliver you, to liberate you, just as he did with this man possessed by a legion of demons. You need the power of Christ to set you free, just as he had then. Christ has the power today to liberate sinners, to give them freedom from sin, freedom from the power of the devil. And all those who have been delivered by Christ, all those who have been set free, should praise the Lord for delivering them from the power of darkness and translating them into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Are you thankful for that today, child of God, that Christ has set you free? As John the Apostle says, writing to the young men, the young men spiritually speaking, ye are strong and you have overcome the wicked one. And it is by grace that God has set you free from the tyranny of the evil one. Well, with the Lord's help, we would like to consider this part of his word, Mark chapter 5 from verse 1 to verse 20, perhaps with special focus on verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. See the transformation. He was a wild man, but now he is tamed by the power of Christ, set free from the tyranny of the evil one. And with the Lord's help, we want to first of all focus on the wretchedness and misery of the demoniac, the Gadarene demoniac. He was a wretched man. He was a miserable man. And that's what we consider first of all, the wretchedness and misery of the demoniac. In the second place, the release and liberation from Satan's power. This man was set free. He was liberated. He was released from the power of darkness. And that's the second thing we want to consider, how we all need that. We're all bound by sin and we need to be set free. The release and liberation from Satan's power. And in the third place, the reaction to the great things Christ had done. What was the reaction of the Gadarenes? What is the reaction of the man who was previously possessed by the demons? The reaction to the great things Christ had done. Some rejected Christ, but the man who was set free wanted to cleave to Christ, but instead the Lord told him to go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. See the compassion of Christ. What think ye of Jesus, the compassionate Savior? This man receiveth sinners. Are you ready to come to Him? Are you in love with Him? Are you attracted to Him? This man, the man Christ Jesus, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. First of all, the wretchedness. Secondly, the release. And thirdly, the reaction. First, the wretchedness and misery of the demoniac. As soon as Jesus and his disciples arrived on the other side, this Gadarene demoniac meets them. Perhaps he saw them from a distance. The demoniac saw Jesus and the disciples approaching the shore, and he begins to run to them. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. This is the southeast side of the Lake of Galilee. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, the Gospel according to Matthew says that there were two. And we read there in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, same place, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Well, there is no contradiction here. If there were two, then certainly there were one. There was one. And perhaps the main details applied to the one, the man who was called Legion, in whom many devils or demons were entered into. So, but we will focus, of course, upon the one who was called Legion. And I believe it is in the Gospel according to Luke, where we read that this man was approached. He said, when he, it says there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Well, we find here that there was a legion of demons inside this man. He was demon-possessed. I want to point out that whenever you read devils, plural, in the Authorized Version, it is translating the word for demons. Devil, properly speaking, only applies to Satan. And the Savior says in regard to the judgment day that the pronouncement of judgment upon the people is that they will go to that place prepared for the devil and his angels. So devil applies only to the prince of the devils, the devil himself, Satan. But all the other places where you read devils plural, it is translating demons. There is a difference. The devil is the slanderer. The demons are the unclean spirits. Now, the unclean spirit, or the demon, the one who was demonized or demon-possessed, as you find it in the original, He was possessed with an unclean spirit. Perhaps there was one unclean spirit that was the leader, and the rest were following. We see that sometimes he speaks in the singular, sometimes in the plural. In verse 10 we read, "And he," singular, "besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country." At any rate, the unclean spirit is a morally filthy being and prompting the man to sin. And we are reminded about the polluting nature of sin. Sin is defiling. And do we feel this? Do we recognize our sin to be staining our conscience, defiling us? And as we considered Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting, that sin has a separating power. It is our sin that separates us from God. Have we been convinced by the Holy Spirit of our sinfulness, of the uncleanness and filthiness of our sin? And we see that this man, the demoniac, dwelt among the tombs. There, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And this term probably refers to the abandoned burial chambers that were hewn into the side of the cliffs. There were tombs made from rocks. And it seems that the unclean spirit, or the demons that followed him, felt most comfortable there among the tombs. And if truth were told, the sinner, we're all sinners by nature, the sinner would feel that he or she is in their element when surrounded by sin. And sin leads to death. And does this describe you, that if that the things you dream about are that what it would be like if all restraints were removed and you could have your way and do as you please? Well, that is what the sinner deep down inside wants to do. And we read here that this man dwelt among the tombs. The wages of sin is death. Here's a reminder, or at least an illustration for us. That is where the sinner will have his destiny apart from Christ. Sin leads to death. Sin will keep you among the tombs, the spiritually dead. And we're all by nature, apart from saving grace, we're spiritually dead, cut off from fellowship with God, among the tombs spiritually. Are we convinced of this? Has the Holy Spirit taught us about our sin and our misery? We're considering the wretchedness, the misery of the Gadarene demoniac. He was a wretched man. He was miserable. And he was sinful. He was led by Satan to do sinful things. We read that he wore no clothes. He was running around in this place, this country, a terror to the people. And the demons had made him lose his sense of shame. My friends, it is the devil that makes people take off their clothes. Do you know that? And those who want to follow the world's fashions and want to expose themselves as they please, they're falling in with satanic activity. Think about it. As you hear about it with politicians and the media more and more, it's the devil who's at the head of this satanic, devilish, unclean activity. When Jesus comes into a person's life, he makes them put on their clothes, as we find out later on in the passage. But this man was a terror. No one, we read, could pass by that way. We read in the Gospel according to Matthew that people were purposely bypassing that road that led through that territory. Here was a man who was untamable, he was unrestrainable, and here's a vivid representation before us. We read verse 3 in our chapter, "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." In fact, the very fetters, the handcuffs, as it were, they were broken to pieces because of his demoniac strength. And it was the power of Satan that was driving this man to break down all barriers. But my friends, that is what sin will do. That's what Satan will do. We may not be cognizant or aware of the fact that Satan is leading us or driving us, But he is the one, and it is our own sinful nature that goes hand in hand with it, that is ready to break through the barriers, like the prodigal son who did not want any parental restraint any longer, was ready to go to a far country. Does that describe you? Breaking through restraints, even human laws, are not sufficient when sin has the sway and when Satan is leading the sinner. And so this man could not be bound. He was demon-possessed, but it's a picture of the power of sin and the tyranny of the evil one to lead sinners more and more into sin. And that will go on and on until a supernatural power provides the ultimate restraint by the conquering of that sinful nature. And that's what we need. That's what we'll go on to consider later. In verse 4 we read, "The fetters were broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." Not only could he not be bound, he could not be tamed. Some people might have thought, well, let's be diplomatic, let's reason with him. No, it's impossible to reason with a demon-possessed man. You try to train him, but it will not do. It's impossible, and so it is with the sinner. You might think, well, if the sinner only knew what awaited him, surely that it would be the case that if a sinner knew that the result of all that he does will only be shame and punishment, then he would be restrained. He would not go in that direction. But that is not true because of the power of sin. Yes, it is by God's restraining power that sinners are not worse than they are. But here we're talking about the natural course of sin, where your sin will lead you to, if not restrained by God's power and saving grace. Because while it is true that there's the restraining hand of God in providence, yet that restraint itself will be removed when a person goes to hell and will become like the devil himself, full of rage and despair and shrieking and gnashing of teeth. Think of that, my friend. That is where sin will take you unless you experience the saving grace of God. This man would not submit. He would not be tamed. And mere human devices will achieve nothing. Moral influence is not sufficient. We need supernatural power. We need the grace of God to make a transformation, as this man experienced, as we'll find out. But it gets worse. Here is a miserable, wretched man. And we read that he was crying, and always, night and day. You can imagine the people in the neighborhood. When things got quiet, they could hear, "There's that man again. He's shrieking in misery. Let's close the windows." He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He was a miserable man. Friends, we don't know the emotional turmoil that sinners go through sometimes. They seem to have a good time and they're partying all the time. We don't know what they feel the next day, not only physically but mentally, and how they wish things were different. You see the misery of humanity here in this vivid representation. Here's a man who was miserable. He was crying. He was not crying in joy. He was crying in agony. He was probably wanting to be rescued. Whenever his consciousness was regained, however little, he would say, "Oh, I want to be delivered." And that's no doubt the way many sinners are. Even though they are head over heels in sinful pleasures, they know that there's something that should be different with them. And they sometimes feel that something ought to be done. But while they want to be rescued, or so they think, yet they're going nearer and nearer the precipice. They're only bound more and more to the chains of their sins. And here we see that this man was cutting himself. Verse 5, "And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Perhaps the natural explanation is that Someone who is in this state, mental turmoil, is prone to draw off his feelings from the mind when the anguish grows unendurable, taking off his mind from that by trying to make the body to bear its own share of the agony, by being lacerated in pain, spread out the anguish, not only from the mind but to the body. Perhaps that is the explanation here, cutting himself with stones. But whatever may be the true explanation, we can learn from this how sinners crying out in misery only make matters worse for themselves. Instead of helping themselves, they hurt themselves, and the very way that they seek relief brings more pain and suffering into their lives and into their souls. Engaging in sin, more and more sin to bring about relief, they only bring themselves deeper into trouble and misery. And it leaves the scars of sin upon him, upon people who go on in sin, just as this man who was cutting himself with stones, and no doubt there were the fresh cuts and scars that day when the people came to see him transformed. There was still the evidence that he had been cutting himself. And so it is that even after experiencing deliverance from the power of sin, there remains the memory and the habits that the sinner is still prone to and is ever needs to be ever watchful against, lest he or she would fall back into those sins. Here's a warning for those who are at present indulging themselves in sin. You might say, well, I'll be saved later on. I'll give up all these sins. That may be. But you'll still have the scars of sin, and you'll have greater trouble later on in life by the temptations that you're naturally prone to, and that naturally the sins that you're naturally led into. The danger is there. The scars of sin, of a sinful past. And therefore, it is you're called upon to repent of sin today. Turn from sin today. Seek deliverance from the power of sin now. Well, you might say this was a hopeless case. This man who was demon-possessed, who had the legion, he was full of evil. He was under the power, the total power, not by mere influence, but by possession. The possession. He was under the power of the unclean spirit and a host of evil spirits. It seems like a hopeless case, but it is not. Because there was someone there who had come to rescue him. He had passed over the Lake of Galilee to the other side, the southeastern side, to this place, this area of the Gadarenes. He had come to rescue and release the Gadarene demoniac. Here we come in the second place to consider the release and rescue from demonic power. And that's what we all need. We all need to be delivered from the power of darkness. It all seemed hopeless until Christ arrived on the scene of this man's life. That is why the Lord came to expel the demons, to set this man free, to give liberty to this man who was bruised and cut and was crying in pain. The Lord Jesus came to expel the legion of demons. Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And so we back up to verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and so on. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He ran and worshipped him. So he came to Jesus. You might have thought he would run away from Jesus. What is the explanation? Some perhaps seem to suggest that it was the man with his slight consciousness being regained, and he sees a way out. Here is one who can give relief. We see contradictions in those who are demon-possessed, sometimes influenced by the evil one, sometimes their own consciousness and personality coming out. But perhaps the real explanation is that this man, or rather this unclean spirit, was compelled to come. He wasn't running to Jesus as being drawn, draw me and we will run after thee. That's not what was happening. He was compelled to receive the sentence of expulsion before the judge. The unclean spirit felt an irresistible power. He had to come and acknowledge Christ who he was. That was the first reaction, to fall prostrate before Christ in awe of his majesty. But then we read that he gives an insolent remark. What have I to do with thee? He cried with a loud voice, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. So here he is expressing this contrariety, this antagonism between Christ and the demons. How manifest it is. What have I to do with thee? Thou and we have nothing in common. Here is a complete separation of interests. Christ's kingdom is opposite to Satan's kingdom, as opposite as night and day, as opposite as fire and water. Here is the antagonism, the enmity between Christ and Satan, the serpent who was going to be crushed by Satan. What have I to do with thee? We need to be reminded, when it comes to things of everyday life, is this Satan's influence, or is this a holy and wholesome thing? Sin and Christ have nothing to do with one another. We need to stand wholly on the Lord's side. Satan has no care for souls. Christ does. Satan has nothing, no care, and here the unclean spirit has no sympathy with Christ and no compassion for the victim. This unclean spirit is totally opposite to the mission that Christ has come to. Christ has come to save. Satan comes to destroy. And it is no doubt clear that this unclean spirit acknowledges the authority of Christ. Infidels and atheists will do away with religion, or they will try, or infidels, unbelievers, will deny Christ's divinity. But the demons do not. They tremble before Christ. The devils believe and tremble. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? They acknowledge Christ's supremacy, that Christ is God. But we also read that they tremble. And while the unclean spirit is making use of this man's vocal cords to convey his own message, the unclean spirit, speaking through him, calls on Jesus to take an oath. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Here is the tormentor. Here's the tormentor begging not to be tormented. Satan has come to destroy, but he doesn't want to be destroyed. Here the demons are dreading what they know and feel to be awaiting them. In Luke's Gospel, we read that they beseech Jesus that he would not command them to go out into the deep or to the abyss or hell. That place of anguish. There they are on the Lake of Galilee, but they're dreading that place, of course they will be, that is called the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Here is satanic power to destroy, but their tormentor has come and they're face to face with one another. What will be the issue? They know the time is coming when all will be judged. Do you recognize that? Do the devils outweigh you and defeat you when it comes to what they believe and what you believe? They believe and tremble. What about you? Are you still hardening yourself? I will not believe. The day is coming when all will be judged and everyone will confess that Jesus is Christ and that He is Lord. Art thou come to torment us before the time? We read in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 29. A time is coming. Has the time come? A time is coming when all will be judged. And that's what the demons knew. But now they are asking Jesus to send them into a very interesting, a very peculiar species. And that was the herd of swine that was feeding there on the mountains. Verse 10, and he besought him, here is the leader, the unclean spirit leader, and he besought him, that is Christ, much, that he would not send them away out of the country. Verse 11, now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. Here is a great herd of pigs, 2,000 of them. Verse 12, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. Now, I want to back up verse 8. Verse 8, the Lord Jesus says, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. We see that a little bit of time is going on. They're asking not to be tormented, but at the same time we read verse 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So he told them to come out, but they are not instantly obeying. Usually they did. Why the delay? Here is a dialogue, an exchange of words taking place. And we also read, and he asked him, what is thy name? And so here's another exchange of words. My name is Legion, for we are many. Perhaps the explanation is that this delay was permitted to make more manifest the power of Christ. It was to accomplish His purpose. The Lord was going to make it very clear that it was His power over the devils, over the demons, I should say, and He was going to display His power in a very clear way. Why did the Lord ask him his name, Legion? Perhaps it was to show this man, the man who was demon-possessed, just how miserable he was. He would acknowledge, he was drawing out an acknowledgement of the malignity of demonic power. And it would prepare him for the deliverance. As we said before, those who receive the blessing are those who are prepared for it. They acknowledge they need it. They're looking for it. What is thy name? My name is Legion, for we are many. So Legion is, in those days, it was a number, up to 6,000 Roman soldiers. But the word is used here for an indefinitely large number. We don't know exactly how many there were. It was legion. It was a tremendous number. And they were all concentrating their powers in this man, the Gadarene. Now, here we have an army of demons. Here's the army of Satan. And we see the oppression that Satan has upon sinners, bringing sinners into slavery. And here is the army and its occupation, so that the sinner feels that he has no way out. He has been invaded by sin and Satan. And here is the cruelty that Satan has over the sinner. There's no hope for you, he will tell the sinner. Don't be thinking about even getting out of this situation you're in. There is no hope for you, nothing but despair. You can only get more and more sinful pleasure. And that's all that you can get. But as far as hope and escaping this domain, there is no hope for you. That's the cruelty, the torment of the tormentor, Satan and his agents from hell. It is all destruction for the sinner. He has come to destroy. It's a legion. The point is, the Lord Jesus will make us understand that. He will make you understand that, sinner. If you're wanting to escape, you need to acknowledge just where you have been. The sin of unbelief, yes, all your actual transgressions, the sin of your nature, but the fact that you're in the kingdom of Satan, you've been doing the will of your Father. That's part of the deliverance when the Lord draws out an acknowledgement. Are you acknowledging that? Are you confessing that this is the truth concerning your case? And that you need deliverance, you need this rescue, you need this liberation. Well, back to the request. Why did these demons want to enter the great herd of swine? 2,000 pigs feeding on the mountain. What was their mission? Jesus gave them permission, but what was their mission? Was it simply their love of destruction? And then the glee they might have of seeing animals, even animals, choked to death in the sea. Perhaps it was a more intelligent purpose, however satanic and hellish. It was in order to make the people think, after they see all of their pigs being dashed or splashed into the water and choking to death, here is their livelihood, here is their wealth. And whose fault is it? There's only one person to blame. This is all we can expect from Jesus of Nazareth. That was the demonic mission, to cause the people to see this is what they could expect from Jesus. That was their devilish mission. That's why they wanted to enter into the herd of swine feeding. And Jesus gave them permission. He allowed it. In fact, he had been saying, and going back to verse 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And the original is always helpful to look at it because it is in the imperfect tense. It means that he kept on saying, come out of him. Or he was saying, he kept saying. It was going on. He was saying to him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And now, as we, I think it is in Matthew's gospel, we read that he said, go, verse 32. And he said unto them, go. Here is the voice of majesty, the voice of authority. Come out of the man, go. And they went. And we read, the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they witnessed this terrible situation, this awful spectacle. The herdsmen saw what happened. They saw that the demons had left the demoniac and entered into the swine. And so they run back into the city and tell the people there. And the people of the city, they come out to see what it was that was done. Is it true? Here's an amazing story that these herdsmen are telling us. Let's see it for ourselves. And there was the evidence. The pigs were not there. Perhaps their floating bodies were in the water. And then they look at the man who had been demon-possessed, and he was there, he was sitting. He had been tamed. What a transformation. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. It is interesting to notice the order of the words. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, or him that was demonized, as it is literally. It doesn't say that he had been demonized. It says that he, the man that was demonized. So they come, they're expecting this man, this Gadarene that they knew all along. He's the demonized person. And then we read, and had the legion. But that phrase is at the end of the verse. So we can read, and that was possessed with a devil, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. The man who had the legion. This is the one that they saw who was clothed and sitting in his right mind. And they were afraid. So here is this amazing transformation, because Christ had expelled the legion of demons. His consciousness was regained. But much more than that, here was a man who was learning from Christ, who was submissive to Jesus. This is what you and I need. We need this transformation. We need to be delivered from the power of darkness and Satan's thraldom, to be set free from spiritual bondage. Here was a man who before was wild. He is now sitting. And he is sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's learning from him. He's willing to be taught. Some of you perhaps today are still unwilling to be taught. But here is a transformation. He's willing to listen, to understand, to be taught. What must I do to be saved? Now that I'm saved, what must I do to live for thee? He was being taught, and he was clothed. He was conscious of God's requirements. His sense of shame was recovered. And this is telling us about, or illustrating for us, being clothed with the righteousness of Christ, so that the shame of our spiritual nakedness, being exposed to God's fierce wrath, were covered by the white robe of the righteousness of Christ. All our sin does not appear, but we appear spotless before God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, accepted in the Beloved, accepted in Christ. Do you feel your need of that? Are you asking the Lord to cover you with His blood and righteousness, that you might be forgiven your sins, accepted in Christ? And he was clothed with humility, clothed with the garments of salvation. And that's what we need as well, the sanctification of the Spirit, to be purified within, so that we will be clothed with and rejoice in what Christ does in saving his people, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, putting off sin like a filthy garment, putting on Christ and holiness as a clean garment, and keeping our garments tight, as it were, that it would not be stained and splattered by the mud of this world, keeping ourselves from being spotted by the world, conformed to Christ, learning of Him, submitting to Him. This man was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Before he was wild, he was, you might say, insane, but it wasn't insanity per se, it was demon possession. And he wasn't in his mind, and his consciousness was not coming to the fore. It was sunk within. He was totally dominated by the demons. But now, he's in his right mind. And the Lord, by His grace, when He saves a soul, gives that person to be in their right mind, to think rightly, to think scripturally, delivering the person from spiritual turmoil. Just as He calmed the water, He can say, "Peace be still," to our troubled souls. And that is the deliverance that we need. That is the deliverance that God's people have experienced in a measure. And it is to Christ we must go for more of that sound mind. The Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It comes from Himself. It is a divine deliverance, a divine rescue. We need to see that. What all of us stand in need of is divine power, divine salvation, and not self-improvement, and not taking steps in order to release ourselves, but we need divine release. In the case of demon possession, the victims lost their consciousness. They were totally acted upon by the demon, and it was therefore impossible for instrumental endeavors to succeed. You couldn't reason with them. That would not do it. It was the power of Christ that set this man who was called Legion free. That's what we need. And it is true that the Lord works with means for sinners today. Souls are blinded by Satan. Satan has a persuasive power, not a coercive power, at least not today, at least not as frequently today as it was. We don't see much demon possession, but we see demon influence. Satan has a blinding power. He tempts, he seduces, he lies to us, he persuades us to go in the wrong direction. And so the Lord uses means, the Word of God, the preaching, good friends. The Lord uses means. And the sinner voluntarily embraces the truth. Voluntarily embraces the truth, comes to Christ. But when a sinner is saved, it is still an act of divine power, enabling the soul to come to Christ, making the sinner willing in a day of Christ's power, so that the sinner willingly comes to the Savior and is saved. But the deliverance itself, and here's the amazing point, the deliverance itself is as truly divine by God's power, just as the expulsion of the legion of demons from the Gadarene demoniac. It is divine power, supernatural power, Christ's power to give release and liberty to the sinner. Liberation from Satan's power. How? Christ reveals to the sinner the danger. He drew out an acknowledgement, and he causes the sinner to understand that Satan's temptations will bring the sinner to eternal ruin. And the Lord Jesus frees the sinner from that slavish power that Satan has over the sinner, so that the soul, instead of yielding to Satan's instigations, now he yields to Christ and his commands. Satan is losing. He is forced to relinquish his hold upon the sinner. It's like a brand plucked out of the burning. Satan will still try to tempt, but he is unsuccessful, because by the power of God and the new birth and the Holy Spirit giving grace to resist, and the soul is enabled to stand wholly, entirely on the Lord's side to serve Christ himself. Do you see it? The power of Christ to set sinners free. But it's not only power, it is the purchase of Christ. Oh, look to the blood of Jesus. His blood was shed to purchase liberty for sinners. Because Christ is the seed of the woman, which is come. He has come to bruise the serpent's head. A member of the human race would utterly defeat the devil. Christ is the seed of the woman, a descendant of the human race, one of the sons of the race of mankind, not a fallen creature, but he is one who is God as well as man. And Satan will bow before him, tremble in his presence, and Satan will lose his power through the purchase of Christ. Christ dying on the cross, giving his life as payment, not to the devil. Christ gives his life as payment to the justice of God, so that the very justice of God, this divine perfection, now demands the liberty and the release of that sinner for whom Christ died. Here, my friends, we see the purchase as well as the power of Christ to set sinners free. He died for them. He will set them free by His blood and righteousness. As we read in Hebrews chapter 2, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, and deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Satan will have to let go. The prey will be delivered. Now, that is what we should be praying for. As we consider in the third place, finally, the reaction to the great things Christ has done, we should be praying that sinners would be enabled to recognize their bondage to Satan and sin, and that they would come to the Savior for rescue, for deliverance. What was the reaction of the people of the country of the Gadarenes? They saw the trouble that the situation with the drowning swine, and they said, no, we can't have this. And what they do is they ask Jesus to depart. What they should have done was rejoice that the man had been delivered. They should have seen the value of a soul being set free over and above their livelihood and the herds of pigs. This, the preciousness of a soul being ransomed and set free, is of far more value than any kind of occupation or calling or livelihood. And that is what they should have done. They should have brought all of their sick people to Jesus, bring as many of their loved ones as they could to Jesus for safety, for deliverance and salvation and healing. But no, they asked Jesus to go away, and that's what Jesus did. He left them. He takes them at their word, and it's a very sad day when a person says to Christ, go away, I don't want to hear anymore. Is that describing you today? Oh, you need your eyes open to see the folly of it. You need Jesus to rescue you from that hypnosis that Satan has upon you, to be set free from satanic influence. What happened with the man who had been possessed by the demons? He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to go. But the Lord Jesus didn't allow him to go with him on the boat. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And that's what he did. And he published, he proclaimed to everybody in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Well, we see here, even here, the compassion and mercy of Christ, not just to the man who had been demon-possessed, but we see his mercy to the people of the Gadarenes. They send him away. But does he curse them? No. He sends them a missionary. A missionary to tell the people, one who would live among them and tell the people what Jesus can do, what he has done for me, he can do for you. Do you see the compassion of Christ? And how we should be praying earnestly that the Lord Jesus would set souls free today because of the evil spirits that now work. They are operating in the children of disobedience. It's not demon possession, but demon influence. And Satan is blinding them and persuading them. What about you? Pray for deliverance. You're a poor, helpless sinner. You hate the misery you're in, but you love the sin. Sometimes you wish to be delivered. Perhaps sometimes you recognize how deep in sin you are and you wish you could go back to the innocent times, as you might call them. And you have now committed sins that you thought were never possible before to commit. But you have done it. And you have said, I have loved idols. and after them I will go. But my friend, don't say there's no hope, because there is hope. You cannot deliver yourself, but here's a power. Here is one who has come to rescue sinners as he came to the shores of the Lake of Galilee to set the demoniac free. He can set you free by his word and spirit to set sinners free. Acknowledge your spiritual bondage and confess your need of Christ and look to him to expel sin from you, to give you liberation, power over sin, that you would be a young man spiritually, set free, overcoming the wicked one. You cannot save yourself, but Christ can. He saved countless sinners like you. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he can save you as he delivered the demoniac of the people of the Gadarenes. He can deliver you from your condition spiritually, through his purchase and his power. He can bring you to a right mind and cover you with his righteousness and purify you. Why? Because he loves to do so. He has come to do so. It is his power. It is his grace. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. He is able to snatch sinners from the jaws of death. Hear his powerful word. Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And you will be like this man, not in demon possession, but transformation. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And while you may not be full of slavish fear, may all of us be full of reverential awe at the great things that Christ has done. May he bless his word. Let us pray.